Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. We invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. Bob, as you well know, we all have stuff going on in our lives, and many times we don't know what to do or where to turn. But friends, that's why we are here. If there's something you need to talk about, let's talk about it right now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's basic gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. We want to hear from you, so don't wait till later in the program when we're out of time. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Fear, guilt, and shame are things we all encounter in life. We experience in certain degrees of intensity. A lot of times that just cycles through. It just points out our need for forgiveness. It points out our need to know exactly what Jesus Christ accomplished for us through his death on the cross. And that's what we're going to be talking about this month. We're going to be talking about that great subject of forgiveness.
Yes.
I think this is where Christians struggle more than any other place in their Christian lives, with the idea that Christ has taken away their sins once and for all, and that they stand before God as forgiven people. It's such great news, but it goes against everything in our natural way of thinking. Well, God doesn't want us to have a natural way of thinking. He wants us to think his thoughts. He wants to see forgiveness from his perspective. And that's what we're going to talk about this particular month. We're excited.
Yeah.
Monday, we're going to start a 28-day forgiveness challenge.
That is exciting.
And so every day we will be posting to our website a little blurb on forgiveness, a little devotional, and then we will have a challenge that goes with that. We want you to be a part of it. It's a free thing. We will be delivering these posts to your inbox as far as your email program is concerned if you're signed up to receive our emails. If you're not signed up, I encourage you to go to our website, basicgospel.net. Click the subscription link on the right-hand side of the page, fill it in, and verify that you want to opt in, and then we will be sending these out. It starts Monday, August 4th, 28-day forgiveness challenge. These 28 days could absolutely revolutionize your life, revolutionize your relationship with Jesus Christ, and bring you to that point where you're walking in just assurance and confidence that you are loved by God and that nothing in this world can separate you from the love of God. So join us for this 28-day forgiveness challenge.
Yep, going to be a great time, Bob. I'm excited about it. I hope our listeners are as well. And I hope you accept the challenge, friends, to find out just exactly the depths of the forgiveness that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, plenty of open lines at 1-800-677-9377. That's good and toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 800-677-9377. And Bob, while we wait listener calls, I had a question from Jack through the website. It says, can you tell me the meaning of Romans 11:22? In this verse, it sounds like some people can lose their salvation. Is he talking to Jews and Gentiles or the church or who? To me, it sounds like he's saying salvation is on the table for everyone, and if Gentiles persist in unbelief, they too will be cut off. I've been wrestling with this passage for a while now. Can you help Jack with some understanding on that?
Well, Jack is actually on the right track here. Romans 9, 10, and 11, it's a very rich section in the Word of God, and it's really talking about this offer of salvation being extended to both Jew and Gentile. That was the great plan of God. That was the plan that the Jews had such a hard time embracing and really understanding. Why? Because they thought that because they were descendants of Abraham out of that bloodline, they were the special chosen people of God, and they were for a purpose. Out of the Jewish bloodline came the Messiah. But now that the Messiah is on the scene, and now that he is alive and living today and living in us, he offers his salvation to both Jew and Gentile. The blessing of Abraham was not just to the Jew, it was to all nations. Well, that's what Paul picks up on in these three chapters in his letter to the Romans. So he starts out Romans 9 with these words, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel." So he's talking about the Jewish people, and he's talking about God's plan to come back to them. They were put on the back burner. Once they rejected Christ as their Messiah, they were put on the back burner, although there is a remnant of Jewish people being saved by grace today. But the real ministry that's taking place is out there in the Gentile world. So Paul is saying to the Gentiles in Romans 11, hey, don't get too cocky about things. Yeah. Don't let the pride swell up inside of you. You're saved by the grace of God, just like the Jew is saved by the grace of God. So don't think that if you reject, if you start to look down your nose at this good news of Jesus Christ, that you're not going to be cut off as well. And again, that's the Gentile world. It's not individuals. And if we will elevate our thinking and see that Paul is talking about people groups, the Jewish people and Gentile people, I think this very difficult and dense section of Scripture will start to take shape. All the pieces will start to fall into place, and you can get a real sense of what Paul is actually talking about. So, no, we cannot lose salvation, and that was Jack's concern. Is this a passage that teaches you can lose salvation? An individual person, once they're saved, they are saved forever. When Jesus saves, he saves completely. And that's based on the power of an indestructible life. Jesus lives forever, and as long as he lives, those of us who are saved, we will be saved. So if Jesus ever dies, then that's when we can lose our salvation. Yeah. But he's never going to die. He was raised back to life. It's an eternal thing.
Yeah. As soon as eternity is through, huh?
Yes.
Plenty of open lines. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, 1-800-677-9377. As I said at the outset of the broadcast, and I've said many times over the past few months, we're on the air live, so you can participate. So you can, if you have a troubled situation you'd like to talk about, if you have a particular Bible passage, as Jack did, that you just can't quite understand, this is a great opportunity to pose that question to Bob Christopher right now. You can do that by calling 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time right now, so don't wait till the program is almost over to call, as many of you have the habit of doing. Call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Bob, I want to remind our listeners that we have a wonderful new offer for them this month. For a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, you're going to receive Bob Christopher's message called In the Love of God, and it's yours, as I said, for a gift of any amount this month to Basic Gospel. And to make your gift and request your copy, simply visit our website, basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 and let our operator know that you'd like to make a gift to the ministry and receive your copy of In the Love of God. It's a great place to be.
Yes, it is.
Well, a question from Phil, and he says his problem is reading. And the question is, does it matter that I need to read the Bible in order for me to get caught up into the air when Jesus comes back? I know the Bible says faith comes by hearing the Word of God, so does it matter or do I need to read?
Well, if you can read, it's so vitally important to read the Word of God. If you're unable to read, and that's a problem, you can listen to the Word of God. God's Spirit can take the things that you hear and can put those in your heart, can plant that into the soil of your heart. So you don't have to read, and certainly I think probably 60-70% of those back in the biblical days were illiterate. So they had to have the Word read to them. And if you can have the Word read to you, you can trust God's Spirit to take that and to make the things of the Lord Jesus Christ known to you. Because ultimately, the only way that we learn what the Word of God means is through spiritual revelation. It's not an academic endeavor. We can read the words. We can apply academic methods to try to figure out what these words mean. But ultimately, it's the job of the Spirit of God. He's our real teacher.
Yeah.
So anyone can understand the Word of God. Just open up your ears, listen, listen intently, and let God's Spirit do His work inside of you.
Bill, hope that's a help to you. Hope you're listening. And for Bob, for any of our listeners who'd like to pose a question by email, you can do that from our website, basicgospel.net.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Irma, listening to us in New York, New York, on WMCA. Hi, Irma.
Hi. I have a question. If one is very aware and knows the Word of God, and in order to, is it possible that once you commit sin deliberately, after knowing, being very informed with the Word of God, they fall away from the Word of God and just go with the way of the world, do they still have salvation?
Well, Irma, if a person's saved, they're saved. And the guarantee of that is Christ's finished work through his death, burial, and resurrection. He did everything that was required for us to be saved. So once we're saved, and that's what we have to really ask ourselves, Irma, what is salvation?
But by what means are we, okay, I feel that I was saved if I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord, God, and Savior, and, of course, through the Father. Okay. Now, after knowing that and then studying that, doing things that are out of the commandments, committing adultery or drinking or doing... Once you have the Word of God and you fall short of that, how is it possible that a person can be possibly saved? Because he was saved once and then he can go by the way of the world and commit murder, do anything he wants, he's still saved?
Irma, while Bob is going to answer your question, if you could turn your radio down in the background, we're getting some feedback.
Okay, I certainly will.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm sorry, because I heard something in reference to that, and I thought, let me call up about that.
Yeah. Well, Irma, here's the deal. We have to ask the question, what is salvation? Salvation is much more than forgiveness of sins. Oftentimes, we simply look at it as a golden ticket that will grant us entry into heaven when we die. And we don't put any more into it than that. But that's not what salvation is. Irma, for us to be saved, we must be born again. So we go through this process
of...
Let
me ask a question here. A born again means that you don't go by the way of the world. You no longer, you separate yourself and you try to live by the Word of God. So now that I'm in a totally different way of life, I separate myself in terms of friends, whatever you did prior to that. Once you become born again and that you take that promise, that oath with God, and you fall away and do things that are completely wrong, once you know what's right and wrong, and you know by the Word of God, there's no logic that we could possibly be saved. But you're saying that, yes, that we can be saved? Even if we did something so terrible,
Irma, will you listen to me for just a couple of minutes?
Absolutely.
Just
yes,
sit and listen. That's all I'm asking you to do.
Okay.
Because my salvation is dependent upon Jesus from start to finish. So he acts toward me in grace, and in that grace he makes me alive together with Christ. So I go from death to life. And when I go from death to life, Jesus then sends his Spirit to take up residence inside of me. So I am now indwelt by the Spirit of God. And Irma, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Well, the Spirit of God is going to work this salvation into our hearts and lives, and then we work it out by faith. But God is the source of it. The Holy Spirit is the source of it. Now, because of the work of Christ on the cross, because he shed his blood once and for all, Irma, there is no more condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. There is no more punishment for sin. Jesus took the punishment for us. And that enables the Holy Spirit, once he comes to live inside of us, to promise us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So once we're children of God, we're children of God forever. Now, we still live in this world. We still are subject to the temptations that are out there in the world, and sometimes we give in to those. But when we give in to those, God does not turn his back on us. God's Spirit does not leave us. As a matter of fact, God's Spirit, His work intensifies inside of us to again reconfirm and reassure that we genuinely and truly belong to God, that we are children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He teaches us to say no to sin. He takes what we've done and says, now, did that meet your expectations? Did that provide you the happiness you were looking for? And you say, no, it didn't, Lord. It just left me feeling empty and guilty and yucky and all of those sort of things. And the Spirit is like, well, that's what sin does in your life. And do you want to continue there? No, Lord, I don't want to continue there. He said, okay, let's start moving down this path of faith. So God's Spirit is alive, living in us. We can count on Him to do His work. He's promised that He will complete the work that He began in us. Now, the next thing I want to talk about, Irma, is this. There are a lot of people out there who pay lip service to the gospel. They say that they're saved. They've walked an aisle, they've said a prayer, they've joined a church, they've given money, they provided the stained glass windows in the church. It could be
any of those. I don't care what you do, you can't pay back or you can't buy your way into heaven.
Right, right. But they say they're saved based on those things. So
But I have a problem with this. In other words, once you're knowledgeable and you've been saved and you fall away, because we're very tempted. We'll never be perfect just because we took an oath. We're always going to be tempted, whether it's me or whoever. And habits will lead you to this great temptation that you break away and you want to stay with the Word of God. And many fall away. And what we're saying here is that once the Holy Spirit is within you, there's a very big reason why I'm saying this, because I think adultery is a very serious thing.
Well, adultery is a serious thing. Stealing's a serious thing.
Yeah, I think that murdering someone, taking someone's life, or you're not necessarily on purpose, but just out of vengeance is a very serious thing. And if a person lives this kind of a life, even if they've been saved, you're saying that the Holy Spirit stays with them and that they will be saved?
If they're genuinely saved. That's the whole point.
Well, how do you know if we're genuinely saved? I don't know. And I don't know where I'm at.
Well, Irma,
I feel that I am because I try to...
Well, I guess that was the question I was going to lead to. Are you asking because of you?
I'm very concerned about it.
Have you committed adultery? Have you?
No.
Okay.
Not me. Okay. First of all, let me add to this. They could say whatever they want about any Christian, any religion. I'm married to a Muslim, and I don't believe in his faith because they believe in Allah. That's a whole crazy, culty religion. But I didn't know. They believe in Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. But once I didn't know, so I got married. So there I committed sin. I'm not equally yoked. However, I pray about it, I'm working on him, and little by little I'm trying to kind of introduce him to how God can have a son. God could do anything, but he can't have a son. But I'll tell you one thing, as far as their morals and their relationship with a woman, before they marry, there is not another faith on the face of the earth like those Muslims. They treat a woman. They won't even come into your home. How's that sit with you? Okay? And I know, I dated many, many religions prior to my being married to him. And even in a courtship, if they buy you a meal right away, they're very affectionate, they want to become very touchy or, you know. No, Muslims do not. That I'll tell you.
Well, Irma,
in their relationship or their courtship. And now, that's one thing, that our faith does not enforce that. And
well, Irma,
adultery means death to them.
Here's what I would like to do for you, Irma.
I want to get it straight for me. I don't care about anybody else.
Right.
I want to be saved.
Right. Well, Irma, salvation is life. Salvation is receiving the life of Jesus Christ inside.
So there is no judgment? So if I die tomorrow, I'm not going to go in the resurrection and be judged? Or when I die, I'm going to go straight to heaven. My spirit goes to heaven. I think we all do. But isn't there a day of judgment? What do they mean by a day of judgment?
Well, the day of judgment is simply the time when God is going to separate those who are lost from those who are saved. I mean, that's...
So what makes a person that's lost? That's where I'm all confused. How do you get yourself lost once you've been... narrow is the road to salvation. Wide is the road to destruction. So if I'm here, I'm saved, and then I commit sin, and I go on knowing with the knowledge, okay?
If
I keep making these mistakes, how can I possibly be saved? That's what I don't understand.
Irma, you're going to have to pause and let Bob answer your question.
That's right. So, Irma, here's the salvation story. All of us come into this world as lost sinners. We're dead spiritually. That's everyone. Whether you were born into a Christian home or any other home, you come into this world lost and dead spiritually. Jesus Christ entered into our world. He became one of us. He lived for 30-something years. He went to a cross, and there at that cross, he took your sins and my sins, and he died in our place. So judgment took place at the cross. All sins were judged. The verdict was guilty. The punishment was death. Jesus Christ took that punishment. The third day, he was raised back to life. And he was raised back to life, Irma, so that you could have eternal life and so that I could have eternal life. And we respond in faith to that gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We're born again. We're born again as children of God. We're born into the family of God, and we receive life. We cross over from death to life. That is the gospel story, and that's the salvation that we experience. And once we're alive forever. Why? Because the life that we have is Christ's life. If we could lose salvation, that would mean that Christ would have to die. Well, he's not going to die. He lives forever. And because he lives forever, we live forever. And Irma, it's a very simple thing. It's simply saying, Lord, I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, because that is the linchpin. That's the hinge on which this gospel message turns, the resurrection of Christ. And the fact that he was raised from the dead means that you can be raised from the dead spiritually. And once that happens, that's an eternal thing. Well, here's what I'm going to do, Irma. I have to ask you this.
So I have to say with my mouth that I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord, God, and Savior, and that he gave up his life for our salvation. So that means that no matter what I do, I can be saved.
That's what that means. But don't.
That's what that means. You see, I really need a complete breakdown on that, because you want to know.
Well, Irma,
in that case, all the Muslims that do not accept Jesus Christ, that means that they're ignorant. They don't even know the Word of God. They'll be saved out of ignorance.
No, that doesn't mean that, because they're not ignorant. Let me put you on hold, Irma, and we'll send you some information.
Very interesting call from Irma, and you know, I appreciate her heart. You know, she is digging deep. She's trying
to get answers,
and then we appreciate hearing from her, and we're going to provide those answers, friends, and we'll be sending Irma some literature that's going to fully explain what Bob was trying to explain to her. It got it tough when we're kind of like a water bug. We're going all
over
the place.
That's right. But, and what we're going to send Irma is a little booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life, and then we're going to send her a CD called Drive the Stake, and those two together really present the gospel message in its full scope.
Yeah.
And we've sent those resources out to many people. They've responded back and said, boy, those have just cleared up everything, and I'm so grateful to know that I know that I know that I'm eternally saved.
Absolutely. There are many resources available to you at our online store at Basic Gospel, and you can access all of those when you visit store.basicgospel.net. Also, please remember that this month, with your gift of any amount, we'll get a copy of Bob Christopher's CD called In the Love of God, A Great Place to Be. Well, we're out of time. We'll talk more about it on Monday. In the meantime, have a great weekend, everybody. For Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Minister Staff Bob Davis, God bless you, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.